This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
Happy Friday and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, official sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns. Now live in Ohio, Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs. Bo Bishop has arrived safely in Hawaii. Bootsy up at 4:30 this morning.
No way, around, really?
Thriving. You knew they weren't going to get in. They were going to get past 4:30.
But that's 10:30 here.
Yeah,
it's not really even
it's
early.
No. Not bad, all things considered. He's thriving. He's got a lei around his neck. He's loving this Disney place, little Moana theme. He's got his Crocs on.
There's a Disney place in Hawaii?
Yeah, they're saying it like it's a Disney resort. He looks, couldn't be happier. He looks, he's my spirit animal. Love
it. The bigger question is, how is NBC today?
Well, because I only got an update on Boots because I think that's pure joy. I think NBC is still a little bit in mourning after what happened with Oakland getting it done.
And it happened right as they were landing.
Yeah.
That's
it
not
certainly
great.
Did.
Not great for NBC.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You still have that trip that you got to take.
Oh, yeah. You're a magical time. Magical time. Uno, though, is so happy. Uno, you called this.
Yes.
It was amazing last night. I was watching with my mom. She had Kentucky winning the Natty in our bracket pool.
Yep.
So that was,
it
was pretty exciting watching because I knew she was rooting against me. But I had identified Oakland months ago when they beat my beloved Musketeers. So
yeah, you said it. You said they're winning a tournament game. So you'd have taken them no matter what their draw was.
Probably. I liked Kentucky because they can't play defense, but I was probably taking Oakland no matter what.
Man.
Let's just talk about the fact that that guy.
He's got a name.
That had 10 threes.
Jack Golkey.
Golkey.
Thank you, because I don't want to screw it up or besmirch it.
Golkey.
He's not even a starter. He was the sixth man of the year in the conference.
Sixth man of the year. That's like saying Vinny the Microwave Johnson wasn't a starter. Vinny the Microwave Johnson was.
John Hot Rod Williams of the Cavaliers.
Yeah. Sixth man's a valuable thing.
Very clearly.
And he hit it over Reed Shepard, who was so kind to NBC. It's tough. I had it on in the lower screen. Walk me through it. When did you think, like, Uno, you said you're going to do 20 minutes on this game, so I'm just going to kind of turn the floor to you. Take us through your analysis, the ebbs, the flows, and when you knew Oakland really was going to do this.
I think right at the end of the first half, Kentucky kept punching them, and Oakland just kept fighting back. Like, the Golkey kid hit a bank three-pointer with, 50 seconds left in the first half.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the moment you're like, they might be able to do this.
Was that an intentional bank? Was the bank open? Or was that such a bad miss that it banked and then it still went in anyway?
I feel like it was intentional.
Who banks a three?
I don't know. That's why I was like, when that fell, you were like, uh-oh. If you're a Kentucky fan, that's the moment where you're like, this kid's going to hit everything.
Yeah.
And he did.
I bet you would.
Kentucky kept coming at him. I mean, some of the threes they hit in the final 2 minutes, this is going to break their back. They're going to fold to the pressure. And they had an answer
every
single time. It's the best game of the tournament so far. And not just because of the result, but literally it was just one haymaker after another and an answer for every haymaker.
It's incredible.
The last 4 minutes was just shot for
shot. It was awesome.
Three-pointer, three-pointer, two-pointer, two-pointer, every time I thought, oh, there's no way Oakland's going to respond with a bucket, wide open three falls. And
buckets.
You're like, unbelievable.
So do you believe, are you under the impression, can they do it? Can they get to the Sweet 16? Or I mean, is this as good as it's going to get?
They got a nice draw. Like, they're playing an 11 seed, so really anything could happen because NC State beat Texas Tech.
So is NC State the hottest team in the world?
Them and Duquesne and Oregon.
Right now, yes.
Three kind of hot right now.
I mean, it feels like it.
I mean, you won five games in 5 days at the ACC tournament.
Yeah.
Including knocking off Duke, including knocking off North Carolina. Like, I would say they're probably one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in college basketball.
In college basketball.
And their center, Burns, is going to be a really tough matchup for Oakland. They don't have any size for that guy.
Yeah, but if they can, if you can make the trifecta, it doesn't really matter.
All right, so I watched the first half of that game last night with NC State.
Okay.
He only plays like 23 minutes a game. Like, he physically was laboring a minute 58 seconds in, yeah, getting up and down the floor. It was a track meet to start, yeah, off.
The backup center has to play.
The backup center had a monster game last night. I was talking to you, Uno, about this. I mean, he came in averaging 5 and 4, and he had 16.
Man.
I mean, they're a good team. NC State, late last night, did not help the old brackets. Went 1-3.
1-3.
Well, Kansas got the help of the officials last night to win.
Yes. Needed.
A little bit. Drake, Uno, your fault.
I'll take the blame on that one.
You should.
Tucker DeVries really let me down.
It's an understatement. Although they were winning most of that game.
I think they were up like 7 with like 2 minutes left.
I was not awake at that point, and now that just makes me more angry. And then who was my other one? Oh, I had Texas Tech beating NC State. I just thought NC State would be out of gas. And Charles and Kenny Smith were talking about that. They're like, what are we going to see from NC State after playing 5 games in 5 days?
Well, you got the answer.
Boy, did we.
So I ended up going on this bracket, 11-5 in the first round.
Okay. I went 11-5 on one. And
I can't get the
9-7 on the other.
I can't get the other one. I can't get the company one to load. It keeps saying open up in the app. I'm like, I'm in the app. Let me see my bracket.
McNeese State.
But I lost in this one that I went 11-5. I've already lost. I've lost Kentucky. I had Kentucky going a decent way.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as you didn't have them in the Final Four.
All right, so in the other one, I went 11-4, 11-5 as well. So I went 11-5 in both. I had Kentucky going to the Final Four in one bracket. That's out. And then I had Kentucky getting to the Elite Eight in another bracket. That's out.
Why would that be out?
Well, that's not out, but I'm saying those are my big losses so far. Yeah, I was very good at
that. But how many other people had Kentucky?
I'm sure many. Yeah, I'm sure many.
You're not dead yet.
Not dead yet. Problem is, I'm trailing AB, and AB has Houston winning it as well. I'm going to have to look at his.
Now, if Houston goes down, that whole bracket.
And he did not have Kentucky going to the Elite Eight. He had him going only to the Sweet 16.
Who do you have him losing to?
He had Kentucky. He had Kentucky winning and then losing to Texas Tech in the Sweet 16. Or again, that's after not getting to the Sweet 16. No, Kentucky losing to,
I think it'd be Marquette.
No, he has him losing round to Texas Tech, but he also lost Texas Tech. That's why I showed it.
So there you go.
Yeah, he already lost us. He was perfect in the Midwest region, 6-for-6. How about it?
There you go.
A lot of people have Arizona, so in the Browns bracket. Are you in the Browns bracket, Uno?
I am, yeah.
What are you in right now?
I have no idea. I think like 60th place.
Oh, I'm ahead of Uno. Sweet. 35th. I've got 179 max left.
I don't know what I got.
All the teams, a couple of teams have 189.
I know I have 180 left.
So you're a point ahead. Fun. A lot of Arizona. I'd say Arizona, Purdue, and Houston are the top three pick to win it. So there you go. What do we got on tap?
I mean, Griff's the wild card in all of this because Griff has Illinois.
Griff went 12-4. That's what he told me.
And, like, Illinois in the second half yesterday looked pretty good.
Pretty good, indeed. All right, real quickly, our hot topics of the day are presented by Vivid Seats, official fan experience partner of the Cleveland Browns. We'll get more from Uno. The Browns have officially signed Deontay Foreman, the running back, and guess what? We're going to have him in here exclusively. I'm going to switch seats, though, for the interview, so when you see that, don't be alarmed, and I might put my coat on.
I don't need to be in it.
You won't be in it? I think I'm going to put my coat on, though, just in case I get chilly. It's a little breezy in here, so if you see that, you'll know that's why. Deontay Foreman, about 140, is that what we're told? That's what Pierre told us. Give or take. 135, 140, Deontay Foreman joining us here in studio. So that's exciting. He's in the running back room. Makes you wonder, you know, a little bit about Nick Chubb's availability, but this is a big physical back, third-round pick out of Texas, a guy who, when given the ball, has produced at a very high level in the National Football League. So we will hear from him later on today. In the latest NFL next-gen stats metric, does that mean it's a new metric?
I believe so, yeah.
Created today?
I'm not sure when it came out, but it's pretty new.
Browns punter Corey Bohorquez ranked fourth in the NFL in field position over expected with a rating of 161. And Corey Bohorquez was signed to a new contract with the Cleveland Browns. So no surprise there. He was good. Next-gen stats say he was good. The eye test says he was good. And there he is. He was wearing a great Pendleton down there today. He looked kind of like the Big Lebowski. He looked like the dude a little bit.
Big game for his Lobos today, too.
Yeah, that's right. New Mexico. Who they got today?
Clemson.
Clemson, New Mexico. I've got the Lobos going on.
So do I.
Is every single 11 seed going to win? Is that real?
They're 3-0 right now.
So they're the last one.
They're the last one.
So the great Miss K read an article about that and picked every single 11. So she's 3-0 on the 11s. Who are the three that have won so far? NC State. I didn't have that one.
Oregon.
I thought NC State.
Thanks for nothing.
Duquesne. And I thought NC State was going to have like a little fatigue, you know, like they outplayed and they're, you know, they're tired. They kind of outkicked their coverage a little bit, mm-hmm. and then no, not the case at all. And then Oregon.
Oregon beat
South
Carolina.
Yeah, I had Oregon. Of course they did.
Yeah, it's South Carolina in the Sweet 16.
Why?
South Carolina was frisky.
They weren't going to beat. Good. They weren't beating Creighton anyway.
Actually, I think I had them losing to Creighton.
Creighton's tough.
Yeah. Are they the Blue Jays?
That's correct.
It's a great logo. So you got Kansas, Gonzaga. That's a good 4-5 game. That'll be a fun one this weekend. Which one are you looking forward to the most right now of the games that we know that are locked? NC State, Oakland? Oh, man. They've got a real shot, NC State, Oakland.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to the Oakland game all day yesterday, so I'm probably going to be locked in.
So if the winner of that game, can they beat Marquette?
Probably not.
No. Marquette plays great defense, right?
Yeah, and they're
we saw
they're
them at
way
Butler
more
last year.
We did.
They're way more disciplined than Kentucky is.
We didn't think they were a top five team in the country. They were in the top five. We were like, eh.
They didn't have a ton of size, but they were all kind of like the same size, and they were all pretty good. Yeah, I remember that. All right, very good. Any updates that we need to know about? Anything happening that's exciting?
We're underway
right now?
Already.
Yeah, Baylor's up 36-23, I see.
And FAU and Northwestern are playing the most boring game of all time.
What are the combined shooting percentages here?
20-19 at the half?
Yeah. It's awful.
I got FAU. Come on, Florida Atlantic. Let's go. All right, Gibbe.
Northwestern at halftime is shooting 21% from the field. FAU is shooting 33%.
Well, then
Northwestern from three-point land, 16%.
Feels like it bodes well for Northwestern 11. To shoot 21% from the field and be down one. Makes me feel like they can't be that bad again.
I don't know.
All right. Who are you voting off the Mount Rushmore? Are we doing a poll? Is this a real poll?
I feel like we need the poll.
So you have to understand the impact means that, like, see, the right answer for people not named me is to take Joe Montana off, right?
Yes.
Probably, because football still would go on. The Niners would have been good, I think, anyway.
With Steve Young, absolutely.
Well, Steve Young only at the end.
Steve Bono?
WWE doesn't exist as it does today without Hulk Hogan. Tiger Woods certainly changed the trajectory and course of the sport of golf. And Michael Jordan did the same. It became an icon in basketball. I mean, Joe Montana is an icon, but you're talking about with Tom Brady kind of, you know, surpassing him, or at least, you know, he's the second best to ever do it. I don't know. I'm not getting rid of Joe Montana. So if that's for me, Tiger Woods is out. Golf's still going to go on. I'll root for Freddie Boom Boom Couples. I'll root for John Daly. I'll root for Phil Mickelson during these time periods. And that's how I'll do it.
I don't know. I told you yesterday. Although everybody was all angry. They're like, Gibbs, how do you not get rid of Michael Jordan? Because then the Cavs probably win a championship.
It's certainly in play.
Yes.
I think if you're using – so that's like I have Joe Montana at a higher level because it's a direct impact on my youth. I mean, he was my favorite player of my youth. He just won Super Bowls. He was Joe Cool. Jordan, you would get rid of, but then we'd have no Jordan shoes. We'd have no Jordan gear. We wouldn't have the Grove. We wouldn't have
– Well, I don't know anything about the Grove.
Well, I do, and it's fantastic.
Some people do in this room. I don't.
It's fantastic. Maybe someday.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
I don't know. I just think he's so much bigger than the sport. Tiger's so much bigger sport, and Hulk Hogan was so much bigger sport. Joe Montana was bigger than the sport, but – And it's not the same. He to me, if we're being totally honest, I'm taking my childhood out, then he's the one that you would take out for sure.
I don't want to take out Jordan. I don't know why.
No, you can't. Jordan can't come out. It's
no,
between
it's between
Hulk Hogan
Hulk.
And Jordan can't come out.
No, it's between Hulk and Joe Montana.
Hulk Hogan can't come out.
Yes, he can.
No, he can't.
Yes.
No way. We're on.
You still
we're
have the Macho
like,
Man?
No, dude. No.
Sergeant Slaughter?
Do you remember what the main
event? JYD?
Do you remember what the main event of WrestleMania 1 was?
No.
Hulk Hogan.
Well, I figured that.
And Mr. T against Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Ooh.
But without that event, which was sold on Hulk Hogan and then the crossover, Mr. T, all of it, without that event. You don't have professional wrestling doesn't exist like it does now. And without Hulk Hogan, without him selling WrestleMania 3, the Pontiac Silverdome.
So how am I
93,000. People who don't care about professional wrestling would get rid of Hulk Hogan. Like easy, because that's easy.
How do I word this?
I don't know. I'm going to ask Bo.
Word the poll,
you
mean?
He's in Hawaii on vacation. Yeah.
Let's see what he thinks. We're texting. What's your problem?
Well, ask him who he would vote out to.
You shouldn't bother him.
He reached out to me, I'll have you know.
When?
This morning. Well, now, recently. With the exchange of the night last night at dinner. He's trying to curb Bootsy getting stuffies, which is, I guess, stuffed animals. And he told him at dinner, no more stuffies. And Bootsy whispered into his mom's ear. I'm going to get another stuffy in an hour.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's what a formidable alliance.
How did that go?
What do you mean? He's got him and he's got his mom.
Bo's got to nip that in the butt.
Bootsy is he's a force of nature. He's a hero amongst children, in my opinion.
Well,
he's unbelievable.
He's you.
Maybe we do have a kindred spirit.
He is your spirit animal.
He is my spirit animal. It's true. And all we do is get Vicks. We're champions of not only spirit and personality, but out in the battlefield.
Apparently, Griff's really good at getting Vicks. He was telling us this morning.
Griff, you're on Fortnite?
He can't respond right now because he's editing, but he said he's like, him and his friends are won 5 straight last night, and like they're playing really well.
Why haven't we gotten out in the streets, Griff?
He doesn't know. I feel like this might need to happen.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do that.
That's what I said earlier.
We'll do that.
And then you guys told me that it couldn't happen.
Why?
Well, he could play with Z and Bootsy and them, but he couldn't play against them.
He can't play against you?
Dude, we're here to work together. Why are you trying to have us?
But like,
this isn't a CBD
well,
civil
I don't know,
war.
Griff was taking victory laps today about Fortnite. I'm like, well, I feel like you got to put your forces up against
If he
it
wants
would be
to
cool
take on
Zagura
somebody,
and the boys.
Do like a one-on-one to see who's better.
I'm not good at Fortnite.
Okay.
If he thinks he's good, I'll have him take on my son, and then we'll see where he stands.
Ooh.
Bryce is a beast.
He's a force to be
reckoned
with.
Ask him, does he play, is he a big builder? Is he like a good builder and editor and all that?
No.
So he plays zero build?
Yes.
Oh, so me and him could, okay, we could tussle.
I would be the same way. I'm not playing
builds
anymore. I don't
play with anymore. No, no, no.
My friends are all
so
in
then,
that. I'm like, no.
My son right now, it's already over with. El Boods would smoke him, and he'd have no idea even what happened.
Because he's a builder, I'm assuming.
Oh, my God. He's unbelievable. He builds these whole things, and all of a sudden, then he's dropping through this wall, that wall, and I'm like, where are you? I don't know. And he's like, boom, you're dead.
You go into a fight, and it's the Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
When you're done with it. You're like, yeah, I'm yeah. No way.
No, zero build. It's a shooting game. I'm a marksman. No surprise for those who have seen me play hoops.
Okay.
I can shoot the basketball.
I didn't say you
We've
could.
Never played basketball together, have we?
No.
It's ridiculous. It's part of being old.
Well, that's the other problem.
And I have a bulging disc.
Yeah, what?
I don't know. I'm waiting for the doc to tell me what
I can't believe you
mean?
Already got the results.
Sometimes I think that's dangerous, right? It's University Hospitals, proud partner of the Cleveland Browns. University Hospitals, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. I don't know if we can get a little camera on that. Yeah, they do a great job. And then you get it on your My Chart. Like, they've already read it, get my results. The problem is, I don't know what I'm reading. It's like it's in another language. And everything I'm reading, when you Google it, doesn't sound great. So I'm waiting for the doc to say, okay, this is what it actually means for you. Like, do I need physical therapy? Do I need a shot? What do I need? Help me.
Help me, Obi-Wan.
You're the best doctors in the world.
So the poll, you have to cut one from sports history. Which one are you cutting?
Yeah.
That's it.
They're gone.
Hulk Hogan, Joe Montana, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. You have an hour and 30 minutes to vote at Browns_daily/dodgeball. And I'm sure I just screwed it up, and then I'm going to have to figure it out.
You're not going to screw anything up. You're doing just fine over there.
I don't know. I'm like, my sinuses are a mess, obviously, if you can hear me. No. I'm not sick.
You're sick. Cook is sick.
It's not a flu. It's not a cold.
Miss
Kay's
been sick. She's been sick for weeks.
There is
You've
nothing
been sick for weeks. He's sick for weeks. What's
I have
going
not
on?
Been.
Weeks.
I have not. I've been thriving.
No. Weeks.
Literally in the last 48 hours, which all of my high school friends are loving it because, again, as I mentioned yesterday, I tend to get sick during, oh, boy. Oh.
I don't know what's going on.
I hate
what does that
to
mean?
See it.
I'm frozen.
Are we still on the air?
Gibby, the best part is that you're, are we still on no the, signal? Are we on the radio?
We are.
Okay.
Oh, good. Hi, Paul.
For those who, I don't know if they're getting this stream where it's frozen, but look at Gibby's face. That is the perfect Gibby face. Browns Therapy, if you're listening right now, get that Gibby face for all the things that you do. That is an unbelievable. Gibby, talk for a second. I have to get in my chair and get a closer pick.
All right. That's fine. Just don't say it. Wait. No. You don't want to send that to him. Griff, get that off the screen.
Griff has no control over what's happening.
Griff, what is going on? Oh, Griff.
He lost power.
Griff lost power?
On his whole TriCaster, whole stream setup. No cameras. He's going to fix it, though, he says.
God bless you. Griff will get it figured out.
So what's the deal? What's happening? Why don't we take it? We have a nice, good first segment. We're having a good time here. Oh, by the way, before we go, I got something I'd like to read to you, Gibby.
Oh, all right.
Read
away.
This comes from the great David Gray, who reached out to me last night.
We read one of his questions yesterday on the mailbag.
And he had the vocab list. They're the big fans on every level. So he loves it. So he said, I can feel as he texted me this last night, or DM'd me on X. I feel compelled to tell you guys that even though there isn't much going on in the NFL right now, the shows are still great. The way you can pull in various aspects of your day-to-day life, such as Vicks, recipes, kids, shenanigans, general life improvements, think Sundays, is on another level. It's a great camaraderie between you, Bo, Griff, Uno, and Gibby, and it's really fun. I generally hope Bo chimes in throughout his trip for some quick updates on the fam and their catamaran adventures. I hope this Kentucky loss won't derail young Bootsy's zest on the amazing vacation. Bootsy's fine. NBC,
yeah,
we're worried about.
NBC
yeah.
is the one.
They better have elite snacks on this trip. I'm sure they do. And he said, we all know closed mouths don't get fed. Keep up the excellent work as always. I've been adding to the CBD vocab list almost daily, and we'll share updates here soon. Till next time, WTSB. Love it. What a guy.
Perfect. Stephen Phillips chimes into the poll. He says, because professional wrestling isn't a sport, it's entertainment. There you go.
Too bad the stream's out. You would have seen one of the great eye rolls of human history from me. It's the sport of kings.
Everything's down now. HDMI 2, HDMI 4.
Goes in the squared circle. WrestleMania is the showcase of the immortals. No, it's not sport, but it's part of our culture. It's part of the fabric of our society, and it's a part of the society that I want to keep. So, there. That's what I have to say to you there.
Isn't there? Don't you have a little wrestling tonight?
I do.
Are you going to promote this?
Oh, yeah. Would you like me to?
I think you should.
Yeah, tonight. By the way, sounds like it is going to be the largest house ever for AIW. We're talking a lot of people.
How many people can this place
fit? I'm told we could be near 1,000, so get in now.
Fire Marshal going to shut it down?
No, no. This place is, I think it's a big venue, man. It's a big venue. So this is what we got on the show tonight. Three title matches. We've got Money Shot, who has been the tag team champions for 322 days. They are taking on PME.
Okay.
For the tag team titles. PME is the most decorated tag team champion in the history of AIW. What are you doing over there? You're making me nervous.
I don't know. I'm trying to see if I can reset the TV while you talk.
Okay, go ahead. All right. So that's, you got one title match there. You've got a six-person scramble with Filthy Tom Lawler, Trey Lamar, Mikey Montgomery, Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham, Sam Holloway, and Microman. Those six-way scrambles, AIW's famous for them, they're going to be crazy. You got Magnum CK versus Effie. And supposedly there are some surprises there, some people who will be here today. Chuck Stone against Maserati Wes Barkley. And then the Cleveland All-Pros, Prohibition and Bane against Tyler Jordan and Josh Bishop. And you know I love Josh Bishop. Beast. Then you got another tag match, To Infinity and Beyond, against Dominic Guarini and Shaw Mason.
This is quite the card.
Yeah, you got, this is going to be a great match. Derek Dillinger with Katie Arquette. Dillinger, stud, former Intense champion, against Joey Janela. That match is going to be crazy. Then for the Intense title, you've got Dex Royal against Eric Taylor with the Duke. And you know I'm a big Eric Taylor fan. That was my guy. He's you guys, for those people of my age, he's like the heartbreak kid of AIW. The future is too bright. Wear shades if you come watch that match. And then in the main event, Alec Price against the reigning, defending AIW absolute champion, Isaiah Broner. That is the card. 9 matches. You will get your fill. Demolition is on hand. Danhausen is on hand.
Now, Demolition, for those.
Demolition. Former WWE tag team, WWF tag team.
They will
champions.
Be in the house tonight.
They will be in the house tonight. Here comes the axe. Here comes the smasher. The demolition. A walking disaster.
Are you going to have him on the broadcast with you?
Pain and Destruction is our middle name. I think I got that right.
Are you going to have him on the broadcast?
I think they'll come out and talk. They're going to do autograph signing, photos, all of that. I don't know if we'll have them on the broadcast or not, but I'll be alongside the voice of AIW, Wadsworth. The great Wadsworth. You know Wadsworth.
I do. Former intern.
Yeah.
Way back when.
Oh, baby. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Uno, Griff, what are you guys doing tonight?
I will be in Columbus.
He's going on vacation. He's not coming back till like next
Are you going
Thursday.
To see Olivia Rodrigo?
I am, yes.
Are you really?
Yep.
Good for you. You look happy and healthy, not me.
She just released 5 new songs today, too, hoping we get some of that at the concert.
Dude, Rodrigo.
Where
I'm
is
a
this
big
show
fan.
At?
It's
nationwide.
It's got to be nationwide. No, this is.
It's a big deal?
She,
oh,
yeah, she could sell that place out easily.
Easy. Rodrigo, she could do a she could do a stadium tour, probably. With the
A stadium tour?
Yeah.
Rodrigo's big.
100%.
Yeah. Rodrigo's as big as Taylor Swift was. Like,
really?
5 years ago?
At Taylor's age, or at Olivia's age, she's probably bigger than Taylor was at the, like, when Taylor was 21
Dude, Rodrigo's
and Olivia
big,
was 21. Who, she's
is this,
currently 21.
Is the concert sold out?
I believe it yeah. is. Or yeah, it's got to sure. be close.
How did you know? Like, right away, you're like, oh, Olivia Rodrigo.
Because I just got invited. Too bad my kids are huge Rodrigo people. They're, unfortunately, they're on their spring break with their mom, so I had gotten a text from Sweet Miss K, said we just got invited to bring the kids to Rodrigo tonight in Columbus. And I was like, dang.
Got some wrestling.
I got you. Yeah, AIW would. I'm sorry. AIW greater than Rodrigo. You're missing out. Griff, what are you doing?
Trying to get the stream back up.
More importantly, what are you doing tonight?
Anything exciting? He's going to watch hockey.
What about the sport of kings, Griff?
Wrestling. He goes, oh, no.
Griff, you might thrive if you went Uno, with Z tonight to
Uno,
wrestling.
Get up, take an eraser, and eliminate one of his upward arrows.
Wow. Rough.
Rough. He still got three.
You couldn't have been much better.
No, he was really running the show there. Tell Griff I'm sorry, it's not personal, but that was hurtful.
Yeah.
Yeah, AIW.
Actually, Griff should go to Wrestling with Z tonight.
The show's
instead
called
of Miss K, because Miss K,
she's not going.
Maybe you should go with
I'm going Z with my boys tonight. Ashen. AIW tougher than leather tonight. Three title matches, nine matches, $15 general admission tickets. That's it. $15 to get nine matches. That's unbelievable.
We're 168 votes into the poll.
Yeah.
8.3% Tiger Woods.
Okay.
8.9% Michael Jordan.
Okay.
16.7% Joe Montana.
Hulk Hogan.
66%.
If you don't, does anybody out there like The Rock? Anybody who vote in this poll like The Rock? Because
yeah.
Without Hulk Hogan, The Rock doesn't exist.
I don't know about that.
The Rock doesn't exist. The Rock was a backup defensive lineman who washed out of the CFL. He doesn't exist. The Rock exists because the WWF existed. The WWF doesn't exist without Hulk Hogan. So if you like The Rock, if you think The Rock's cool, you enjoy his movies, you enjoy what he's doing right now, being basically the greatest showman in the world. If you like The Rock at any time, from the late 90s till today, The Rock's giving you basically 25 years of great entertainment. If you like The Rock at all, you can't vote for Hulk Hogan.
I disagree.
How do you disagree?
Hey,
if WrestleMania 1 doesn't work, give a. The WWF doesn't exist. It's territories. Who knows? Maybe billionaire Ted and WCW, they get it going. You don't know. Without Hulk Hogan, you don't know. And by the way, WCW was at its peak with who? Hulk Hogan and the NWO. You'd have no NWO. You'd have no DX. You'd have no The
Nitro
Rock.
Girls. Spent a week with them in spring break.
Yeah. Well, no, you wouldn't have.
I did, though.
But you wouldn't have. Did you like that week? Would you like that week to stay a part of your life? Then you can't not. Then you can't vote for Hulk Hogan. I can't believe you people.
There's so many comments too. We'll get to all of
them.
This
is outrageous.
This is a whole nother segment.
I hope that people have heard what I've just said, and I'd like you to. Is it possible for them to go in and change their votes? Because I think anybody with
I'm
class or decorum could. Would do that.
I think you can. I have no idea how that works.
I don't either.
I'll try it right now.
Right now, I'm sad. I feel.
What did you vote?
I haven't voted yet. I'll go vote and try and re-vote.
Humanity has
200 votes so far.
Who are you not voting for?
I won't vote for Hulk Hogan. I'll vote for Michael.
Ooh.
So my Cavs can have a championship back then.
I think it's.
They would have had two or three probably. They might have had one or
I'd
two.
I'd have to vote for Tiger.
Given how
competitive and I love
I was.
Tiger.
You cannot change your vote. So once you're in, you're locked.
So these people are locked. We need a new poll. People aren't understanding the magnitude of what
Smart
Hulk Hogan
people.
Represents.
Smart.
Streams back too, everybody.
Yeah,
so.
I can see that.
Hey, and we're back.
And we're back. But just in time. By the way, we haven't taken a commercial yet. We're
going
to do that right now. We got bills to pay here. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Hey, Gibby, where's that football?
Hi. It's in there.
Somebody bring it in.
Bring me the royal football.
Parade with it. Parade with it. Like, saunter. No, no sauntering. I thought you were going to saunter and hold it. Uno, present it. Look at that football. Do you know what it says? It says, together, for the first time ever, Billy Joel and Rod Stewart. Because that's exactly what's happening. Friday, September the 13th. You can go get right up. Oh, yeah. Can it handle it?
No, can't handle it.
No, there it is. Billy Joel and Rod Stewart. Friday, September 13th, Cleveland Browns Stadium. You see that? There's this fancy football, tells you as well. And guess what? Tickets are on sale now, and they are flying. They are flying off the shelves, folks. Visit ClevelandBrownsStadium.com/BillyAndRod2024. That's Billy and Rod 2024 for more information. It's Billy Joel. It's Rod Stewart. They're together for one night only. Some people are going to see Olivia Rodrigo tonight, and you know what then they're doing on September the 13th?
I'm going to go see Billy and Rod.
People of culture do that.
That's right. People with well-rounded musical tastes.
Yep.
Like Uno. All right, we're going to go around the league really quickly. The Tyron Smith chose the Jets over the Cowboys for Super Bowl aspirations. Dallas's inactivity led to his departure. What's Skip Bayless going to say about this?
I think we already know. Not so great.
All in.
My.
No, comma. Comma. All
comma.
In. Comma.
My.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Only 0.00038% of brackets remain perfect, but Falcons running back Bijan Robinson is one of them. How do we know this?
So his bracket was posted on Twitter some point yesterday before the game started, and people have just tracked, and he's gotten every single thing right so far.
And 16 for 16.
On track to do it again. He has Northwestern and Baylor, and they're both winning right now.
What if Bijan Robinson is the first person to ever get a perfect bracket?
Western Kentucky awesome. Over Marquette, so that's going to be a tough one.
Unless he...
Or he knows everything.
Unless he's seen the future. Well, this is a Back to the Future
Back
situation.
To the future.
Yeah. The Just Tush Push is here to stay, at least for the 2024 season. NFL Executive Vice President Troy Vincent has confirmed the controversial play will remain a legal play this season. Is this the right choice for the NFL? So I had read something, and I actually showed this to my good friend Vince Conti, friend of the show, was like up in arms about it. I said, look, this play was effective for the Eagles, but it was not really effective for the rest of the league. In fact, the rest of the league had a higher percentage conversion on regular sneaks than they did on tush push plays. So, and a lot of people think that Jason Kelsey was a big part of why that was so successful, and he's retired.
Yeah.
So I think the tush push is going to be
they're going to need to tweak
a little bit of a thing of a past. The Ravens, who are hard up for wide receivers, they will meet with Michael Gallup and Josh Reynolds this week. Reynolds is a solid pro. Gallup flashed at times with the Dallas Cowboys, but really hasn't been able to put it all together. So that's around the league. What else you got, Gibby?
Web poll, Hulkamania, 66%.
This is outrageous.
We're cutting.
People don't understand what
Joe
they're
Montana's
doing.
Joe Montana's at 17.9. Jordan and Tiger at 8.
People don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand what this world looks like without Hulkamania running wild.
So the comments.
Do they like The Rock? Did they like the NWO? Was that cool? Have you ever said too sweet to anybody? Have we ever crotch chopped in your life? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
At 1216, who's been in this studio?
Been in this studio. Stone Cold Steve Austin is, he's not a household name without Hulk Hogan.
So odd to say, but probably Montana. People hate Hogan now, sure, which is valid. I'd say of the four, Montana is the least important to his sport/show. Pro wrestling, .. not a sport, and that's not a dig to wrestling either. The other three are pillars, but I feel like the NFL would be.
Yes, that's what I said. If it wasn't for Joe Montana winning me, you know, four Super Bowls himself, the Niners winning five by the time I graduated from high school, then it wouldn't be, it'd be a no-brainer, Joe Montana.
Yusuf Gordon, Hulk Hogan disclaimer, I love Hulk Hogan and everything about WWF. It's WWE. But that form of wrestling is not a sport, just like Batman is not a superhero. What?
Batman catching a crazy stray there. That's not fair to either one.
Batman is a superhero. He's saying that he doesn't have special powers. He just has suits that have special things. Remember, we did this in the Baddest Man Alive tournament.
Yes.
Batman was Bruce Wayne in, was Bruce Wayne out. Well, Bruce Wayne's a bad man.
Yeah.
And then when he puts on a suit and he gets cool cars and he's got Alfred giving him stuff, he does superhero type things.
It's like saying Iron Man's not a superhero. It's the same idea.
Yes, Iron Man. And Iron Man is an Avenger.
Yeah. Mike D, now that I think I'd cut MJ, Cavs could have won 2 to 3 titles in the early 90s.
This is a Cleveland vote.
Sorry, offseason Nate, but nobody under the age of probably 27 gives a hoot about Hulk Hogan, brother.
That's why I'm trying to tell him. Do they give a care about The Rock? Do they care about Cody Rhodes? All the Cody crybabies out there. There's tons of Cody crybabies out there. Doesn't exist without Hulk Hogan. John Cena. Anybody who likes John Cena doesn't exist without Hulk Hogan.
Joe R. says Tiger Woods makes the most sense because there was Jack before Tiger. Therefore, Hogan is more important.
See? That's what I said yesterday. I was going to keep Joe Montana. I had to get rid of Tiger.
The Sea Monkey. NFL QB legends are a dime a dozen. All the others transcended their respective sports/media. So with that in mind, Joe Montana gets the axe without hesitation.
He's not a dime a dozen. He's Joe Montana, undefeated, never won a Super Bowl.
4-0. Never lost.
Never lost. Okay.
This one says if it's scripted, it's not a sport. Easiest decision of my life, wrestling is so dumb. So there's
you know that. What? I won't see you at AIW. And I won't miss you.
You're going to miss out.
You're going to miss out. I won't. I'm not going to miss you. All right, when we come back, because we don't want to miss this, we got it. He's waiting for us right here. I'm going to put my jacket on. I'm going to switch seats. A little cold
I'm
right
moving
now.
Out of
but,
the way.
But then I'll come back over here without a jacket. But for the next one, for the interview with Deontay Foreman, that's what I'm going to do. That's coming your way next. Gloom Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns. Very happy to be joined by the newest member of the Browns, running back Deontay Foreman. Deontay, welcome to Cleveland.
Thank you, man. I'm excited, man. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us how this all came about.
Yeah, so we're just going through the process, you know, and it was stressful at times, too, because I was kind of ready to get it over with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had a couple options, man. So once I weighed my options, I just feel like, man, this would be a great fit for me. You know, just seeing the team that's here and the defense. Like, I had a chance to play against that defense last year, man. So that was crazy. I was able to feel, you know, how those guys was playing and, you know, how they were flying around to the football. So I was very intrigued about that. And then also just seeing the weapons and everything that, you know, that we have on the offense side of the ball as well, too, man. It's exciting, you know, just every piece that's here to the puzzle, man. It's exciting. So I'm looking forward to it for sure.
We're looking forward to having you. I mean, you're a big guy. I see that sitting here listed at 235, a little bit of a hammer, and I'm sure you saw it last year. We were very effective in short yardage. We like to run the ball in short yardage, and I know that's something that you've done pretty well with in your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's another thing too. Just you know the style of play and you know the you know how things go here. Like I definitely feel like it was going to be beneficial to my style of play and what I like to do. So I'm just excited, man. I just you know I don't have too much to say. I'm just ready to get to work and just kind of show it, prove it.
We're happy to have you, and you will get the opportunity to go to work. Got a long season until September, certainly. But talk about you know starting your career in Houston with Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And now reunited here with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, man, that's cool. You know, so when we came in together, we were just two young guys, man, just trying to find our way, and just to see, you know, where we've, you know, the journeys that we've been on, and you know, to end up here together again, I think it's amazing, man. It's just crazy how the world works. You know, he was a great teammate, you know, at the time, you know, great leader. I'm looking forward to getting back in the building with him. He actually hit me up the other day and just told
nice.
Me, you know, he was ready to get back to work with me. So I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, that'll be fun. You know, I was going through your career and something jumped out to me. So you've had in your career 11 games in which you've received 19 or more carries. It's happened 11 times. You've rushed for more than 100 yards in 7 of those 11 games. So when you've gotten the opportunity to be the guy, you've been the guy. You did it in Carolina, certainly. You did it last year at times in Chicago, but in Tennessee as well. When you get that opportunity, are you a guy who just feels like the more you get the ball, the better you get because you can wear people down? But, I mean, that is, to me, that says, okay, feed the man the rock. He's going to give you 100 yards.
Yeah. So my biggest thing is when I go into every game, I think if I don't leave the game with 100 yards, I didn't do my job. That's just always been my mindset. And I know that's not going to happen every game. It's not going to happen every weekend, but that's just the mindset. So definitely when I'm getting the load and I'm getting, you know, the ball and, you know, just consistently, of course, like that's the biggest thing. Make plays, try to get in the end zone and just, you know, get to that 100-yard mark. Some way, form, or fashion, we got to get to it. And I just think, you know, it's not really just solely about me getting to 100. It's about, I feel like if I get to 100 and just with the way I play, I think, the other team's going to feel that, and they're going to feel that energy. And, you know, once I get going, I just think it's hard for me to stop. So it's like, yeah, like once I get lathered up a little bit, I'm going for sure.
Well, I can envision there were a few years ago when we had, when Kareem was a little bit younger and we had Nick back, and we'll see when we do get Nick Chubb back this year. But you'd have games where Nick would run on people, and then all of a sudden, second half, fourth quarter, they'd bring in a fresh Kareem, and he would just annihilate people. Like, I can imagine, you know, one of the reasons, I'm sure, for a guy like you, come to a team that's winning, because winning teams run the ball a lot in the fourth quarter,
sure,
and you get an opportunity to wear somebody down.
Yeah. You know, so just watching it from afar, watching those two guys go to work together, man, that was amazing. It was great to see, you know, definitely from being a running back and just seeing how those two complemented each other and
sure,
the way they played, man, it was great to watch. So, you know, I just want to come in and just kind of hold my weight, do my part, you know, and just help us win, man. You know, I'm not trying to be anybody or fit in anything. I just want to come in and just be myself,
yep,
do what I got to do. And I think with me doing that, I think a lot of people will love that.
Yeah,
sure.
I think we will.
Yeah.
Talking with Deonte Foreman, the newest member of your Cleveland Browns, the running back out of the University of Texas, former third-round pick back in 2017, that same class where the Houston Texans drafted, as you said earlier, Deshaun Watson. Do you look at, when you're in free agency, do you look at offensive lines? Are you saying, man, I'd like to, you know? So you do. So yes, you're like, okay, well, we got some Pro Bowlers up there.
Right.
You got a big 6'8", 375-pound right tackle in DeJuan Jones. So that's something, yeah, that you noticed and was appealing about this.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, man. And like I say, I played against these guys, man. So I seen it, you know, and everything that, you know, Chubb's been able to do, even when Kareem, just stuff that they've been able to do, man. You know, you see that stuff, you like, man, look at the line. Look at, like, you know, you just see the whole thing because as a running back, you understand what goes into, you know, I mean, you got great backs, but, you know, they can't do it by themselves. So you got to see what's up front and what that's looking like. And, man, the way they getting after it and moving guys off the ball, man, yeah, I'm definitely excited about that.
I bet. Now, good thing you had some time in Chicago to get used to the weather, because being a Texas guy, I'm sure that was a little bit of a shock to you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was. But, honestly, I played in a decent amount of cold games in my career. So, okay. Kind of gotten used to it, man. I think you just, you know, when that time comes, you know, you don't even worry about that. You just go out there and play and, you know, just give it your best.
I will say for the people listening, they do a tremendous job keeping the sideline warm. Mm-hmm. As long as you're between those heaters, you're in a pretty good spot.
So when we played here last year, it was cold. It was very cold. So yeah, I mean, we made it work, though. It wasn't that bad, yeah.
All right, excellent. What's one thing you want Browns fans, you know, it's easy to put on your tape, and I'd say go ahead and check out him as a Carolina Panther against the Atlanta Falcons. You had you did pretty well against them.
Yeah.
Two games here, 248 yards, four touchdowns, no big deal. But if you want him beyond your play style, what's something you want Browns fans to know about Deonte Foreman?
Outside of football, man, like, because honestly – I want people to kind of know me more than just a football player.
Yep.
So I would say, man, I'm a cool guy, laid back, very approachable.
Yeah.
You know, y'all see me out, you know, feel free to speak.
Oh, don't worry. This is Cleveland. They'll be all over. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Feel free to speak, man. You know, I'm very, you know, outgoing and just, you know, but I'm very reserved too, you know, so I like my space and I like, you know, just to be kind of in my own little world at times.
Yeah.
But, you know, but back to the football stuff, man, I'm a hard nose type of guy, man, just, you
physical.
Know, physical, man, going, you know, when y'all see me out there, just know, like, I'm giving y'all my everything, and, you know, I'm trying to be the best I could be each and every day, just know that.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure our linebackers are happy you're a Cleveland Brown now, so they have to deal with you on Sundays. When you said you like to do some things to yourself, you like to kind of relax, what do you like to do?
Just kind of chill, play the game, hang out with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I got a twin brother, identical twin, so I like hanging with my brother. That's like my best friend.
Is that real, the twin telepathy?
Kinda. Yeah. We've had moments for sure. I wouldn't say it's like an all the time thing, but we definitely had moments. So I would say it's real. But yeah, man, that's about it, man. I don't really got too much. Just, you know, just know that I'm coming here to put my best foot forward, give it everything I got. And I'm ready. I'm excited.
Well, we're ready and we're excited to have you, Deonte. Welcome to Cleveland Browns.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back for more Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant
Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Join NextGen STM, presented by Ticketmaster, the official waitlist of the Cleveland Browns. Being a NextGen STM is the best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. Oh, what a treat as we go to the Twisted Tea Hotline, brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea, an official sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Keep it Twisted Cleveland. It is NFL Network host, baseball enthusiast, encyclopedia, John Boy Media, play-by-play man for your Cleveland Browns as well, the great and just tremendous human being, Chris Rose, joining us on the hotline. What's up, brother?
Gentlemen, is Gibby sitting next to you, Z?
He is. Yeah, he tried to get out of it. I was like, you're not going anywhere.
I'm like, just put, like, I'll start. I don't need to be on. I'll step aside here.
You're a part of the crew.
Gibby, this is your time of year when you led the Bowling Green Falcons into March Madness under Larinaga.
Larinaga for 2 years and Dan Dockich for the last two.
Did you guys ever come close to the tournament?
97 won the MAC East. We were the number one seed going into the MAC tournament, and in typical Larinaga fashion, the team choked. Because that's all that.
By the way, I don't blame that on the coach.
I have no fondness for Jim Larinaga.
You're a player.
No, I don't. I don't have a lot of. He's not on the Christmas card list. His team's never achieved in the postseason. But that team had Anthony Stacy, all-time leading scorer, although he just got eclipsed. Antonio Daniels. There were three guys that went on to play overseas.
Didn't Antonio Daniels play in the NBA?
Antonio Daniels, fourth overall pick of the draft, I believe, the year he came.
Yes.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's when MAC basketball was at its finest.
Yeah.
Miami had Wally World. Boykins and Dials at Eastern Michigan. Bonzi Wells at Ball State.
Did you lose to Wally World? Is that who beat you?
I'm trying to remember. 97.
Oh, for God's sake, Gibby.
How are you not dialed into this? How do you not know who beat you in the MAC championship?
No. I mean, it would have been nice to get to the MAC championship.
Oh, you lost early exit.
Yeah. In my lifetime, my alma mater has never been to the NCAA tournament.
Ooh. Tough.
46 years.
Sad.
We should ask today's poll question.
Here we go.
That's right.
Here we go. Deontay Foreman, here we go.
Well, listen, we just had a nice chat with Deontay Foreman. He was great in studio. So we can start there if you want. I was actually wanting to start somewhere else, which was because I'm befuddled and bamboozled by what's happening with Ohtani, and I know that you're on top of it, and you seem dialed in. My biggest question, and maybe you can answer this, how did it go from them saying it was the gambling debt to the fact they then present the translator for an interview with ESPN, which he does, a 90-minute interview, and then by the following morning they're like, actually, nope, that's actually none of that's true. It was theft.
Yeah, and yes, it's very confusing. we don't know anything more than that, to be honest with you. And that's the disturbing thing. I think one of the more alarming features of this entire process, because there's a good possibility he didn't do anything wrong, right?
That Ohtani didn't
do anything wrong.
Yeah, agreed.
Other than pay off somebody's debts, which
100%, yeah,
right. Although it went to a guy who is under federal investigation and was an illegal bookmaker out here in Southern California.
Yes.
That would be a bit troublesome. The thing is that he's not only the face of the sport; he's really a global sports icon. I mean, in Japan. Yep. He is the biggest thing in that entire country. That Major League Baseball put out essentially a one-liner that said he's not under investigation, which is fine, except that people want to know why he's not under investigation. I think, and there's a possibility that they can't say anything if there is a federal investigation going on. But, you know, baseball and its typical lack of leadership has not come out and forward-faced this at all and said, here's why, or here's what we can tell you, here's what we can't tell you right now, but we will at a future date. Just because now the story has taken on such a life of its own that people are just trying to connect whatever dots they have. And until leadership comes out and starts leading, then people are just going to go with whatever they want. And that's, I think, the roughest part of this entire thing.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, just from my reading of what had been reported, it sounded like this guy got in trouble for gambling. Ohtani said, I'm going to be a great friend and I'm going to bail you out of this. Don't ever do it again. And that's what happened. And now all of a sudden, I think his lawyers are trying to protect him, is my guess. And so they're happy to throw the interpreter under the bus. I don't know. It just seems like an odd situation, and one that you're right. Yeah, that's not how you want to start a baseball season.
No. And then on top of it all is that, you know, if they addressed the Dodgers after the first game of the year in South Korea, and now there's stories that that's the first time that Shohei had heard of all of this. Like, it just, none of it makes sense.
No.
The Dodgers obviously did not let him talk to the media after game two. Now they're either back or they're on their way back from Korea. They'll have another exhibition game, I believe, Sunday or Monday. I'm sure people still won't talk, you know, be able to talk to him about it. It's just, and on top of all this, this has been like his best friend over the last decade. So imagine that part of it. This isn't just a coworker. This is like his boy that was at the hip even before he got over and started playing in the States in 2018. So just imagine that part of the entire thing getting thrown at you.
Yeah, and wasn't he in the dugout with him as of Wednesday morning?
Yes, he was. He was. And there was a shot of them in the ninth inning where they're kind of laughing and having their typical relationship. So it all is very bizarre. There's a lot that needs to be answered, and the longer that they don't, that somebody doesn't step in front of a camera and a microphone, then people, like I said, are just going to take the story whatever direction they want. I don't think that's healthy.
All right. Well, there's Chris Rose breaking that down for us. That's good. I feel smarter about it.
I have a question. Why in the bloody hell are we opening the season with two teams playing overseas two games before, a week before anything else happens, baseball-wise?
Yeah,
I don't know. The face of MLB is, like, on at 3 o'clock in the morning your time, 6 o'clock in the morning here.
As he changed teams.
I
don't get it. I understand wanting to expand the brand globally. Like, I do get that. And when games are played over in the Far East, I love seeing how different cultures take on different sports, whether the NFL plays in London or Germany or Brazil coming up. Right. So
stop.
Yeah. Like, that's all.
No news.
I think that's great. But the fact that we're watching it 6 in the morning Eastern, and I woke up the first day at 3:52 local time in order to watch a baseball game.
What dedication!
Well, I did have a little extra. In addition to it being part of what I do for John Boy Media and wanting to talk about the game after it was over, our oldest son, Josh, was working on the Padres crew as the assistant director that day.
Awesome!
So, he got into work at 9 o'clock at night on Tuesday for 3 a.m. first pitch. So, you know, I wanted to see how his broadcast was going.
Well, what did you give him? What was the grade? What was the fatherly grade?
There were no glaring errors for his position. He did tell me about some stuff that happened, and I was like, okay, well, that happens during live broadcasts. But the fact that he's 23 and getting to sit in a truck with seasoned veterans in this business is great.
It's awesome.
We were very proud of him.
That's cool. Awesome.
That's awesome. Yes, congrats from the whole CBD and Cleveland Browns families. That's big time. That's big time. All right, how's your bracket? Did Kentucky bust you up?
No, because I I have not filled out a bracket the last 2 years. I
really
vicariously live through our two sons on this, because with football and baseball being what I do and what I'm extremely passionate about, the one thing that's gone by the wayside is regular season college hoops.
Yeah,
so
fair.
I would just be a guesser at this point, and I don't like guessing when it comes to sports. I will tell you this.
Interesting. I was a pure guesser. I did one. Total guess, except for Arizona, because I know them. Let's go.
The first bracket I ever filled out was when I was 15 years old, and 1986. My dad brought it home. He had a good friend, Steve Godin, who ran the office pool. So here I was, 15. I was dialed in, totally dialed in. I had Louisville over Duke in the final. And who was the championship game? Louisville and never nervous Purvis Ellison as a freshman.
Never nervous
Coach
Purvis.
K's team. And
Johnny Dawkins and Mark Allery and all those guys.
Very good. That way, Gibby. You know more about those guys than you did about who knocked you guys out in the MAC tournament.
I block out when we lose.
Right?
I would block things out. I'm not I'm a poor sport.
You're good at compartmentalizing, I guess.
All I want to know is what portion of your therapy session do you spend on Jim Larrañaga keeping you at the end of the bench?
It sounds like there's still some resentment there. Maybe needs more. Yeah. Maybe not enough time.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I had a much better working relationship with Dan Dokic than I did with Jim Larrañaga. And that's all you need to know.
I finished fifth, and somehow I finished fifth, even though I had the title, nailed the title game. So I finished fifth out of like 220 people, and people are like,
wow,
who's this Chris Rose guy that's at work? They're like, yeah, that's Nordy's son. He crushed it. So I walked away with a little dough at 15. That was good.
Nothing wrong with that.
Little taste.
This is what I would say. So I did, I have not kept up on college, but like Uno knew Oakland was going
to
win.
He picked Oakland to beat Kentucky.
Like Uno was, I saw them play. They're going to win a tournament game. So I don't have any of that, but there's so much information out there that I was able to cull some things and find, 11s are going to beat 6s, and guess what? They've won three. They're 3-0 so far. So I think there's stuff you could still get in there and at least have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the quad screen. I mean, that's what I got on right now while we're chatting. So I'm trying to see if, if Northwestern or Florida Atlantic's going to move on.
Is anybody scoring in that game?
Dude, the first 4 minutes were brutal. Even
awful.
Virginia called in was like, God, your offense is horrible. But, yeah, other than that, Baylor's blowing out. Colgate, San Diego State's off to a nice start. And Marquette and Western Kentucky are just getting going. I'll be tuned into the Yale-Auburn game, though, shortly. That'll be a good one in the Rose household.
That should be a good game right there. Yeah. I have Auburn going to the Final Four in one of my brackets.
I'm going to the bandwagon.
I don't know about that, but I have them going to the final game, losing to Houston in that bracket. That's in my Browns bracket.
Okay.
Let's go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So we will see.
How's the building, gents? How are we doing?
Building's
great.
You've
got a bunch of new faces roll through there.
I'll tell you what. It's unlike any year I've ever experienced in terms of it being a veritable parade. It used to be that you'd have one day where they'd bring in like the top three signings, and then everybody else you'd never really see. I got to talk to everybody, and we've signed and or re-signed a heck of a lot of people this offseason. We are the opposite of the Cowboys. We are all in.
Yeah, we are all in. Commas needed.
No comma needed. That's right. Exactly.
You and I texted, and I said, man, Jameis, he's going to shoot to like the top three of the sound bite immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately when he puts on the brown and orange, and then he does that great social media post.
Public service announcement.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredible.
He was great.
So it's been fun. It's been fun. There's been a lot of discussion as to bringing in running backs and bringing in a fourth quarterback that you actually know who he is, and trading for, and then extending a receiver. It's been a lot of interesting talk.
Yeah, well, where do you, let's start with, we'll break it down piece by piece. Let's start with the biggest, I think probably the biggest move of the offseason, or the one that ultimately will define, you know, this offseason, would be the trade for Jerry Jeudy, and then the Browns extend Jerry Jeudy and are betting, kind of as they did when they extended David Njoku, that his best football is going to come under the auspices of this contract. What did you think of that, and what did you think of getting Jerry Jeudy? Very talented, obviously, coming out of Alabama.
So, let's go backward. I loved the trade because what I keep hearing about this draft is that there's going to be a lot of teams that are looking to get rid of those late round picks, that they don't feel like the talent at the bottom of the draft is worth hanging on to this year. Okay.
Okay.
So I thought the trade itself made a ton of sense. The extension comes with risk. You've got a guy who, for whatever reasons, has not played up to the potential of where he was picked. And when I was a huge Jerry Jeudy fan when he came out, I was like, that dude is going to be awesome. He is.
Yep.
I'm just a huge fan. I watched a lot of his ball at Alabama, and I thought that he was going to be great out there. Some of this is obviously on the lack of stability on the coaching front out there. I would imagine a good deal of it is the lack of a really good quarterback there. But I think that hopefully Jerry Jeudy has a chance to kind of see why he isn't exactly where he wants to be at this point of his career. And I am hopeful that I do think being in this environment under this offense with as many weapons as I think are on the field will help him. And I think the biggest part of it all is that Amari Cooper has got to rub off on him. Has to.
Yep.
And if that's who he wanted to be growing up in Florida and then following in his footsteps at Alabama and hearing about what has made Amari Cooper a sensational player in this league and the pro that he is, he's got to learn. He has to learn. And the Browns are banking on it not only for this year but for future years. And I understand it, right? You've got the possibility of having Amari and Elijah Moore leaving after this year. You have to protect yourself. So get a guy who's still just 24. He'll turn 25 this summer, and they're going to give him every opportunity to reach his potential. And so now he's got to prove that he is worth an extent, essentially what is a blind extension.
I think that was very well said. I think you're right. There is risk, and I think in the Browns' assessment of it is, if we're right about who we believe Jerry Jeudy is, this is going to look like a great deal for us. And if the Browns are wrong, then it won't be a great deal for them. I think you touched on something there. It feels like when I talk to a lot of people around this building, what I keep hearing is a lot of belief in Jerry Jeudy's talent, but you hit the key part of it, Amari Cooper, that was kind of his idol, and that he's going to have an opportunity now to not only play with, but to learn from Amari Cooper. And if he can incorporate some of the things that make Amari Cooper as good as he is, that, you know, Jerry Jeudy has a chance to be really, really special. And what I keep hearing is there's a belief here that they will get the best version of Jerry Jeudy, whatever his best is at this point. And remember, he's only 24 years old. They think that the Browns are positioned very well to get that best, and I think a big part of that has to do with Amari being here for this season.
I mean to me it's a flyer worth taking. Is it expensive? Yes. I mean, $41 million guaranteed, it ain't nothing, you know.
Nope.
like that's the guy who kind of broke the receiver bank, if you will, right? There's been other guys who made money this offseason who have been probably not even as good statistically as Jerry Jeudy, right? Gabe Davis got some nice money in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney got some in Atlanta. They did not get the guaranteed dollars that Jerry Jeudy has received from the Browns. So let's all hope that a year from now we're like, it worked. It worked. And that's what we need. And plus we've got a guy who's in his mid-20s who's now locked up for the next few years, which is important.
Agreed. Yeah, you were kind of facing a situation where you could be going into this season with your top three receivers all being on the last year of their deals, basically, and Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, and Elijah Moore. And I think, you know, I think Browns obviously want to keep – you'd want to have Amari here as long as he's able to be here, but I think Elijah Moore certainly could be a part of the Browns' future as well, along with Cedric Tillman and David Bell. You mentioned already the quarterbacks, Chris, four quarterbacks here. The guy that you just signed to be your fourth quarterback has been a Pro Bowler. So a little bit different there. What did you think of those moves? What questions did that raise, if any, for you?
I mean, I don't have any questions. I mean, for people who are like, oh, God, we signed Tyler Huntley. What does that mean for Deshaun's shoulder?
Nothing.
Listen, you need four quarterbacks in camp. And with all due respect, I would rather have Tyler Huntley be the fourth than Kellen Mond be the fourth or Josh Rosen be the fourth. Right? So you have to look at it that way. Plus, they probably will dial back his workload, Deshaun's workload. You know, I mean, we haven't seen him throw. You guys will see that at minicamp at some point. He's going to be on a pitch count. He has to be. And at the end of the day, guys, when everybody was talking about, well, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, what do we do here? As amazing as the run was last year, and it was great, it was really one of the most memorable Brown seasons and, in my opinion, fulfilling Brown seasons in my lifetime because of the way they played and the way they had to and deal with the adversity and the injuries and everything else. This team is only going to go as far as Deshaun Watson takes it. Mm-hmm. Let's all be big boys and big girls and have this discussion. And they know that in the building, and Deshaun knows it, and that's that. So we can talk about Jameis versus Joe and what a fourth quarterback means here. Let's call it what it is. Deshaun Watson has got to get back to what he thought he could be when we traded for him. And that's that. Can he do it? Yeah. Yes. We saw it against Baltimore. We saw it. I saw it standing next to you against Tennessee. We need to see it more. And end of story. That's it.
It's very well said. Agreed. And I have the same response. I think one thing that people also are forgetting a little bit, too, is that DTR suffered a season-ending injury. And so, you know, as a younger guy, we don't know what his availability is going to be yet for the April portion or the early OTA portion, May into June of this offseason program. Running back, though, you mentioned Deontay Foreman. We just got a chance to talk with him on CBD today. Great kid, been very productive when given the football, you know, 20 or more times in his career. He's been great. That one, to me, maybe raised a little bit of an eyebrow, not in a sense of what are they doing, is more of probably this is feels like a little bit of an acknowledgement of what really we all should have expected the reality to be, which is that it's probably far from a certainty that Nick Chubb would be ready for week one and probably more unlikely than it is likely that he would be ready for week one.
Right. And when you have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You just have to. And so it doesn't mean that Nick Chubb's not coming back. It just means that he might not be ready wherever and whomever we play week one, week two, and that's okay. I can tell you this. With Deontay Foreman, who has certainly had his NFL passport stamped quite a bit in his career.
Yep.
There's always a three-week span when I am doing game day final and game day highlights at NFL Network where I feel like all I'm calling is Deontay Foreman highlights.
Yep.
So there is a window for him where they, you know, last year in Chicago it didn't happen as much, but the year before in Carolina.
Yep.
Really, there was like a month where it was the Deontay Foreman show every Sunday.
Yeah.
That might be it for the first month. And let's capitalize on that. And the fact is that the guy has done some really nice work at the NFL level. You're not, you know, you still feel like, even though he's been around, I think, since 2017, that he's got fresh legs and all that. And I also wonder, I think this is a little bit of a wake-up call for Jerome Ford. And I'll explain why. I think that Jerome had like five or six runs last year. The first one in Pittsburgh, he went right, he cut back left, ran for almost 70 yards on the play. He had obviously the opening run against the Colts.
Yep.
And then there was just not enough production. And I think where we missed Nick Chubb the most was on these 4-yard runs where you didn't think he was going to get anything. He'd get 3 or 4 yards. And on the same sort of run, Jerome Ford would try and find the big play, and instead he'd lose two.
Yep.
So that's like a 4 or 5 yard difference on the way that running backs read the play. And I think that he needs to get better in those areas to realize that you don't need to make 18 yards every play. Just don't make -2. And so maybe that's the difference, is that they feel like a seasoned veteran like Deontay Foreman can do that for the Browns. So it's 2nd and 7 or 2nd and 6 instead of 2nd and 12.
Yeah, I think this running back room is actually going to be interesting to watch because I think you make a very good and valid point there. You know, Jerome Ford had one of the highest rates at getting stopped for no yards or negative runs in the NFL. His success rate was actually pretty low. The guy that had the best success rate on the team was Pierre Strong. And I think with a year in the system, a year to pick up, I think we could see more Pierre Strong as kind of the explosive runner. And then I think you could see, you know, Deontay Foreman is kind of that hammer that Kareem Hunt was, but probably has a little more juice left at this point than Kareem, who was unbelievable in short yards. I want to take nothing away from him, but I don't think he had a run of 20 yards last year, whereas Foreman, I think, has just a little bit, you know, probably a little bit less tread on his tires and is just a little bit of a different style of runner. So I could see him kind of in that role. It's more Pierre. You wonder what it means for Ford. And then you have Nyheim Hines, who I think can give you some out of the backfield catching the football, but also would be a returner. So even if you don't necessarily need him to carry the football or catch it, he can help you in that return game. But that's an interesting room now. And really, you know, the numbers game becomes interesting once Nick Chubb becomes healthy. There's going to be there's a tough decision to be made there.
Yep. Competition, folks. And it's the great thing about being a really talented team. You know, for years, unfortunately, the Browns, we were trying to figure out, okay, who are the first 22 we're going to put on the field? Like, and there were some gaping holes at times. And now we're talking about, hey, how's the third, fourth running back going to look? Like, that's pretty awesome that that's where I think this team is. And, yeah, there's, like, it's uncomfortable, I think, for the guys in the room because they don't all have jobs locked down.
Correct.
But as a fan, you can't wait for it because that's the way it should be with really good teams.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this one, Chris, and always appreciate the time. This is an absolute treat for everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Rose to see where you can catch up on all of his stuff that he is doing. And there is a lot. It is vast. It's a veritable cornucopia of Chris Rose at your disposal. What I would ask is this, and it's kind of along the lines of what you just said. We did this on the show already. You can put together like a top 56 right now. That's pretty good, and we haven't even had the draft. Do you feel like this is maybe the deepest roster? Because we're not just talking about the third and fourth running back. We're talking about Jerome Ford, who put up over 1,000 total yards. Deontay Foreman, who's been productive in his career. You know, a guy that we like in Pierre Strong, or even if you go in the defensive end room. You know, it looks like Isaiah McGuire is going to be your fifth defensive end again. You got five quality defensive tackles, and certainly four of whom who are veterans who have played in the league. Do you feel like, in terms of the roster construction, that this is maybe the deepest that we've been at these positions in terms of people that are players of consequence?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to feel that way. And I'm excited because I think there's a lot of directions that they can go in the draft. I really do.
And it's wide open.
It is. And I think it's the one area where I would like to see us improve as a franchise too.
Yeah.
Last year, we had the ability to almost redshirt our entire rookie class. Like, it was bizarre, right? Like,
yep.
Hillman didn't get a ton of run, and then at the end of the year started, I thought, to do some nice things, and he was our first pick. Siaki Ika barely dressed because we had guys in front of him that were proven at this level. And so but, you know, now you're the second year into a four-year deal for these guys that aren't first-round picks. It's time for them to start kind of growing up in front of our eyes and making the decisions on the coaching staff and on Andrew Berry and his staff even more difficult. Like, you don't want to have just one guy per draft class pop. Like,
no, that's what we had. It was DeWand. Yeah.
You know, you don't want to have just JOK from his draft class or just Martin Emerson from his. You want multiple guys, and I think that's the difference, probably one of the big differences between the – now two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs and the rest of it. Like, their defense, they just nailed it in the draft for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Nailed it. And it's what allowed them to make some other tough financial decisions with other people. And so that's what the Browns draft picks have to start doing in order to take this talent level from where it is, which is arguably the best we've seen in years, to another standard.
I think you're exactly right, and I think it'll be helpful going forward that we should be back picking in the first round. Because all of a sudden, if you have a first rounder and then a third or a fourth who plays like a first rounder, and then maybe one guy in the fifth or beyond that is decent, like Cam Mitchell was last year, or Jerome Ford was a couple years ago, then all of a sudden these are really good draft classes. But I think that's part of the stress of not having those early picks. But you bring up a great point. Always a pleasure, brother. Appreciate the time.
Rose, by the way, it was Eastern Michigan.
Of course.
Eastern Michigan.
Didn't Earl Boykin go to Cleveland Central Catholic?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
Eastern Michigan took us out.
Hold on. Now, I find it hard to believe that you weren't tasked with going in the game, Bill Lane beer style, and just taking Earl Boykins out of the game.
I was a walk-on.
You're taking Earl Boykins out. He couldn't see him.
Let's use the term play.
He probably couldn't catch him either. Gibbe chasing around trying to land
one big haymaker
on Earl Boykins would be hilarious.
Now, it did negate, like, the choke job we had in the tournament that year negated the regular season win Thanksgiving weekend at Purdue when we beat Glenn Big Dog Robinson.
Wow.
No, you didn't.
We did, 93-89. I remember that
now,
one.
The big question, did you get a good look at the Gene 80 hairdo up close?
Yes, 100%.
Did you try to snatch it?
No.
Snatch it right off his head? I mean,
no.
Are you kidding me, Nathan? That thing probably walked on its own. he was a legend. He was
incredible
for Gene Cady, but still, he was like one of the few coaches who looked exactly like the team's mascot, Boilermaker.
Totally,
had the same look and everything. All right, boys, it was great catching up with you. Love my hometown.
Yes.
We'll chat soon. Tell Bo hi wherever he is.
He's in Hawaii right now. He and Bootsy are running amok in Hawaii. The whole fam.
Hawaii?
What goes wrong there?
Yeah. They just flew in yesterday. Holy. His oldest, who loves Kentucky, got off the plane to the news of Kentucky falling to Oakland. He was despondent, but they've apparently recovered, and they're having a great time today.
Oh, my. Yeah, well, come on. We're not going to let Kentucky, you know.
Bother us in Hawaii. No, we're not.
Yeah. Please.
Have a luau. Right. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be just fine. I imagine he took Southwest and stopped 17 times on the way there.
Yeah, no, I know. Exactly. That's what we heard. Yeah, that's what we heard. That's what we heard. All right, Chris. Thanks, brother.
All right, boys. Take care.
All right. The great Chris Rose there. We'll be back with Larry David?
No. We got a shorty and then Larry David.
Okay, shorty, then Larry David.
Yeah, we got to get some score updates. We got a game in overtime.
We said Larry David. Not on our show, but on basically like a friend of the show's show. The great Isaac. He's been on our show. I've been on his show. So there you go. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet right after this.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Have you ever thought about hitting a golf ball inside Cleveland Browns Stadium? Well, now's your chance thanks to Upper Deck Golf. Friday, June 21st, Saturday, June 22nd, and enjoy a unique VIP golfing experience while hitting tee shots from the upper deck down to custom greens on the Browns Stadium field below. For more info, go to upperdeckgolfing.com and reserve your tee time today. That's upperdeckgolfing.com. All right, Gibbe, what do you got for us?
Let's see.
Uno,
Score updates. We have a game in overtime.
We did. It's about to go final. Northwestern beat FAU 72-61.
Okay.
Baylor
not over yet.
Colgate.
He's calling it. He's called it.
He's about to go final.
He's like Steve Kornacki. He's called it.
92-67. Baylor knocked off Colgate.
So they will likely take on UConn. They being
that would be
Northwestern.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Gross.
And then San Diego State is leading UAB by 7 with 1 second left in the first half.
What about Marquette, Western Kentucky?
Marquette up 6, 7 minutes left in the first. Hilltoppers about to shoot a 3, about to make a 3.
Comfortable.
Now it's a 3-point lead.
Comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. That's comfortable. They're fine.
In our poll today on Browns_daily on X, you have to cut one from sports history. Which one are you cutting? 62.6% Hulk Hogan.
Gross.
Joe Montana, 17.5%. Tiger Woods, 12.8%. Michael Jordan, 7.2%. Time to get a break.
I don't think people understand how important Hulk Hogan was. Somebody who understands greatness and icon that I would not allow you. If you put it in this poll, I would have kept Larry David in the poll. And we're going to hear from him next on the Rich Eisen Show. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Everybody gets affected by the madness, even the great Larry David. Take a listen to him on the Rich Eisen Show.
So I hope I'm I don't know if you heard this, so I hope I'm informing you.
Uh-huh.
In the NCAA tournament, you don't have a bracket. You don't fill out brackets, do you?
You know tournament? What? Can I make an admission here?
Sure. Yeah.
This tournament, mm-hmm. it's how much can I follow in sports? I'm supposed to know who's on drink? This is crazy! Crazy! Valparaiso! I know names on Valparaiso! This is insane! I don't know anything! Maybe I'll watch the semifinal, but that's it! What can I do? I've got the Rangers, you know, I've got the Knicks.
Yes.
I can't follow all these teams. How do people do it?
I don't know.
How do they do it?
Great question. I don't know either.
Who are they married to?
The game. They're married to the game, Larry.
Huh?
So no brackets. You don't fill out any brackets.
No.
Okay. Have you ever filled out an NCAA tournament bracket?
Maybe once.
Okay.
But all guests. Understood. It was all guests.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's throwing
like
throwing
an office thing. Board. It was an office thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, this was a soundbite that was delivered yesterday. The head coach of Long Beach State, his name is Dan Monson. He was fired.
Dan who?
Dan Monson.
Oh,
that's
okay.
His name. He was fired last week because they were just having a bad season.
Yeah.
The athletic director fires him right before the Big West tournament, and they went ahead and won the entire tournament, which means they're now in the NCAA tournament. They fired him, and he still has his job. They still allowed him to keep coaching. So he showed up to the press conference yesterday, and he said this.
I don't have to answer anything I don't want to because I'm working for free today.
What did he say?
So, it's like you guys see the Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get fired and couldn't lose his job and still going to work every day, and that's me. I'm a Seinfeld episode going on right now in real life.
Wait.
Is it an opening statement? Was that it? What do we got going?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Coach.
There you go.
So he kept his job?
Yes.
But what? How was he able to keep his job?
Because that's a good question. The athletic director thought he would inspire the team by firing the coach.
So he fired him, but he's not fired.
It's what he's kind of saying is the Seinfeld aspect of this thing.
Yeah.
Because he's mentioning, I think, two episodes here, right? Where the one where the Mets tried to get George to come to them and he tried to get fired from the Yankees, right? That was that episode.
Yeah, I don't think I was there for that one.
Okay, and then there was one where, based on your actual experience,
where he quit and came back. Yeah, that's what I did.
That's what you did in real life, right?
In real life. I quit SNL. I freaked out. I quit. And then I came back on Monday morning. I quit right before the show, came back Monday morning, pretend it never happened. Yeah.
And whose idea was that again?
That was my neighbor, Kramer.
The real Kramer.
The real Kramer, yeah.
And you didn't think for a split second that was a crazy idea back in the day?
You know what? I thought it could work. I thought it was a great idea. I thought I had nothing to lose. Maybe I'd be embarrassed.
Yes.
If he said, "What are you doing? You're fired. Get the hell out of here."
Right.
I would have gone, okay, you know. I would have done that and left. But I thought it was worth a shot because it was, for me at the time, a lot of money. Yeah.
So why did you quit in the first place?
Oh, Rich, I was fed up. Yeah, no, they kept cutting my sketches.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what ended up happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And when you got back, did it work?
No, the same thing. It continued to cut the sketches.
But they let you back in, though.
They let me back in, yeah. Oh, yeah, it worked perfectly. Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. So that's what I guess he feels like what he's doing. He's,
yeah, exactly.
He's actually leading his first game right now.
Yeah. So okay, good for him. Where is he? What is he? Long Beach State?
Long Beach State.
That's a college?
That is. Just down the road.
Yeah, okay.
Just down the road, yeah. As a matter of fact.
There's so many of them. How can there be so many athletes? How can so many people play these games?
Yeah.
Look at all these colleges and high schools. They all have teams.
Yes, they do.
Let's go to the colleges. There are really good people playing on these teams.
Yes.
How could there be so many great players? No?
Did you ever play back in the day?
No, Leonard? Just in the schoolyard. Okay. Yeah.
You never got
the, never tried out for a team.
Me neither.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing what I do for a living today. So no, I know I don't. I yeah. I mean, of course, there's all these players, and that's how we have a tournament. Yeah. You know?
So this NCAA tournament, maybe I'll watch a semifinal.
Okay. There you go. Very good.
Can you name any players, any college players?
Sure. Let me think for a split second.
I can't name one college player.
Not one, huh?
Not one. I can't give you one name.
Well, I'm sure you've seen Caitlin Clark, though, right? You've seen her.
Yes, that's the only one. Yeah, she's the only one.
And she's outstanding.
Yeah.
If she could only play for the Knicks, that would be pretty cool. What do you think of the Knicks right now, Larry? What do you think of the Knicks' chances right now?
Okay, let's get serious.
Okay.
Let's get serious.
Sure.
You can't curse on this show, right?
We've got a button.
What's with the button? I don't get it.
We got a button.
Why is there a button?
There's some people in our radio audience that blanch at the conversation.
Is
the Roku
so?
People don't care.
Is that so?
Yes, it is.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Mike's on the button. So go ahead. Speak your mind.
Okay.
Speak
your mind. All right. Well, I don't need to curse.
Okay.
okay. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the Knicks. You said, let's get serious.
Okay. This is the first time since Linsanity. Mm-hmm. That I've had a feeling about this team.
Mm-hmm.
Because Linsanity lasted 12 games. But it's right. I really think they have a great chemistry. I love how they move the ball. They play with intelligence. They have a great coach, a great defense. If they had all their starters back, mm-hmm. I think they're going to be tough in the playoffs.
I love Jalen Brunson. I love him.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Right? I mean, just didn't think in a million years he would be turning into what he's turning into right now.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah, he's tremendous. He doesn't seem athletic in a way,
mm-hmm.
and yet he gets...
Here it goes.
He slithers in, and then he does that thing. You know, where back, he's going backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He jumps... Yeah, he does that. It's all good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is one of those.
But I really like them, and of course, I'm a crazy Ranger fan too.
So you were locked in on the Rangers.
Locked in.
Are you still taping? Are you still
taping?
You're still taping.
Still taping.
So don't ever send you the.
No, you can't.
Still the assumed tape.
You always assume tape. Oh, no matter what. No matter what,
hold on a second. So
even
saying...
a college game. Even if you know, no matter what.
So anybody who texts you, they have to say, did you see this
yet? I don't even want that.
What do you mean you don't even want that?
Oh, well, if that's giving anything away from their excitement, did you see the game tonight? That means I know that, they probably won because something good happened.
Or something that you need to see, right?
I know, but it gets me thinking, and I don't want to start thinking.
So don't even want somebody to
Don't send me anything. Don't send me anything until the next day. Yeah.
24 hours,
yeah.
Fantastic.
All right, that was Larry David. Hilarious. By the way, he and I were in simpatico. Caitlin Clark, that would have been the one person I could have named. Although I think I've expanded now. I got Golkey. And by the way, Griff fact of the day.
Jack Golkey's shot chart on the season, 355 total shots, 347 three-pointers, 8 two-pointers.
He's like that guy on the Cavs.
Sam Merrill, yeah.
Sam Merrill.
Perfect.
All he does is shoot threes. Have a great weekend, everybody. For Gibbe, for a vacationing Uno, for the great Griff. I'll see you all at AIW tonight, Temple Live, 7:30. Let's go. Do it.
Do it.
The next level is next. Listen to 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.